And if you have your Bible with you, why don't you open that to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, as we celebrate this great and awesome morning with all of you. And I got to tell you, I have to apologize for the late start. I was so grateful as we've been waiting to get this off the ground, how grateful I am that Jesus was not held up by electrical problems or anything else on that great and awesome morning. But look at the sky, if you would, right now. As we get into this morning's message, we'll find out that they came to the tomb while it was still dark. And then as they visited and as they found out about the events that had taken place in the darkness of the night, how morning came upon them. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, starts there in verse 1, and I'll read to you. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, the two men stood by them in shining apparel. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you, and that he was in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, but on the third day rise again.' And then they remembered his words. Then they returned to the tomb, and all these things to the 11 they said, and to the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them, who told them, that is the apostles, what had happened. And the words seemed to them as idle tales, because they did not believe. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb." You know, my daughter Rebecca has an incredible ability of not being able to keep the element of surprise at Christmas or at any celebration. At my birthday, I'll grab the gift and I'll say, "Wow, I wonder what's in here." And she'll just burst forth with the answer. "Oh, Daddy, I hope you like it. It's really nice and it goes around your neck. Well, I wonder what that could be." And this morning for us, maybe for most of us as believers this morning, the element of surprise of this day is pretty much gone away. We know about this morning. This morning, 1,961 years ago today, we've meditated on it, we've enjoyed it, we've delighted in the fact. But sometimes because we've taken the time to come this morning, I figured, you know, last night I was so excited about this morning, really didn't go to sleep. Got up at 2:15, couldn't wait for this morning to come about. But the element of surprise has been taken away in some respects. But maybe perhaps for you this morning, you've never really experienced the joy of this morning. This is the high and holy day of Christianity. Without this day, there is no Christianity. Without this day, there is no hope. And so as we look at this, I'd like you to focus this morning on verse 6, where the angel says there, "He is not here, but he is risen. And remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee." The Bible tells us, "If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and our faith is also in vain." But this morning we have good news to you that Jesus has risen, that he's alive. And in the very construction of that verse, the Bible tells us the word risen means a continual existence, that he not only rose so long ago, but he's alive today, and he's living. And for many of us this morning, he's living within our hearts. I'd like to draw your attention to what the angel did say. He said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" It's a soft rebuke from the angel to these followers of Jesus Christ who were so perplexed and so upset by the events of the week. "Remember how he spoke to you," the angel exhorted them. "Remember." And for many this morning, maybe this is the first time you've come to a sunrise service. Maybe you've been thinking about God. Maybe you even had a Sunday school experience. I would ask you this morning to remember. Remember what God has spoken to you. And to those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ and walking with Him daily, remember, moment by moment, the things that God has done for us. How strange it is that we should come, the angel might say, to this tomb. How strange! Children of Jesus Christ, the angel might say, as they were gathered around, why seek ye the living among the dead? It's a statement by the angel of, how silly can you be? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Now, if they would have showed up in any other tomb throughout Palestine, it would have been accurate for them to be there. But not Jesus Christ. Not concerning Him who, through His life, committed the miracles and raised the dead and healed the sick and then went to the cross to buy salvation for the world. The angel challenges their appearance and their shock about being at the tomb. And with this very fact in our hand this morning and in our hearts, the fact is His resurrection guarantees the Word of God, and the Word of God guaranteed His resurrection. It's not by some accident. You may be sitting here this morning thinking, well, I believe that this whole thing's a hoax. I was drugged here by my friends. Can't believe it. In the dark. Could have slept in. Well, you know, for you, there is no hope. Because you're dead, the Bible says, while you're still alive. But perhaps this morning you can say yes to Jesus Christ and find the hope that surpasses even life itself. I just got back this week from visiting my mother in Phoenix, Arizona, who for 14 years I shared the gospel with her, and she pushed Him away and rejected. But finally, in the last several weeks, she's come to Christ, and the miraculous change in her life, her trust upon the Lord in these latter years of her life and faith in Christ, she has hope, even though now in her illness she'll be departing soon and awaking in the presence of Christ. Do you have that hope this morning? Is Jesus Christ alive and well in your heart? The Bible guaranteed the resurrection of Christ. The Bible tells us, Paul speaking, for I delivered first of all the gospel which I received, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Bible, the Scriptures, he said, and that He was buried and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, not according to a plot. Not according to the whims and the emotions of men, but Jesus rose from the dead. And then the other thing is that Jesus' resurrection this morning guarantees for us the judgment of sin. For those of us who are believers, our sin, the Bible says, has been judged at the cross upon Christ. The Bible tells us that God put upon Him all the sins of the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would trust in Him, rely upon Him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the Bible guarantees the judgment of sin, that sin was judged at the cross, and all of our wrongdoing, all of the things that we've done in our lives, past, present, and even future, were dealt with at the cross. You may be here this morning as they sang that song, you have broken the chains, Jesus, in His resurrection. Maybe this morning you're bound by the chains of fear, of pain, or of doubt. Maybe you have chains that have wrapped upon your life because of affairs or drunkenness or drug abuse. And your guilt dogs your life. Listen, Jesus rose from the grave to set you free from all of that. He's given us life. And in this morning, you can have life eternally because He's risen. And then the resurrection of Christ 1961 years ago today guarantees for us that Jesus will come again. Jesus says in John chapter 14 that if I go to my Father, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. The Bible says that Jesus is coming again to the earth. You might sit this morning and say, I don't believe that. God has a way of going against what we believe. God has a way of breaking the chains of our own tunnel vision. Many of the religious people in the times of Jesus put Him to shame, spitting upon him, and eventually having the Roman government crucify him, and they thought that they had dealt with him once and for all. And they had warned the people, you know, they said, this deceiver said that he would rise in 3 days, so that nobody steals his body, let's set a Roman guard, a garrison to secure the tomb of Christ. Yet on that morning, in the darkness of the morning, the stone was rolled away and Christ rose from the dead, guaranteeing that Christ would come again, all that the Bible has told us about his coming. And then also the Bible tells us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees our hope this morning. Know this, the Bible says, that he who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also raise us up also. Do you believe that this morning? I know it's hard. There's a brother right here that does. Praise the Lord. Do you realize that? What is your hope? Is your hope in the White House? Your only hope is in God's house, Jesus Christ. Is your hope in the stock market? It's going to fail. Maybe you've painstakingly invested all of your life and have your security now in the golden years, but there's no guarantee that you'll be here tomorrow. There's no guarantee that you'll have life. But the Bible guarantees that you can have eternal hope in Jesus Christ, and that life eternally, the resurrection of Christ confirms this. And note this, that while they were there, weeping perhaps, mourning on the very early hours of this Sunday morning, the fact of the matter is, Jesus rose from the dead in the darkness of the night. Perhaps, as they tell us, scientists have taken photometers to measure the light that is in the ambient atmosphere just before the dawning of the day. And it's recorded at its darkest moment. There are less decibels of light in that moment before the sun comes than any other time of the night. And it's interesting to me that Jesus Christ rose in the darkness of the early morning hours. And for me personally, because you see, I used to sneak around in the dark. I used to get drunk in the dark. I used to... Well, my kids are here, so I need to be careful. I used to do the things you used to do in the dark. And I always wondered down deep inside, oh, I hope God's not real. And in the midst of my sin, I would be thinking, boy, I've heard about Jesus coming back. I saw that bumper sticker. I hope he's not coming back. I hope he's not real. And I lived my life in a guilt and in a darkness. And I remember just out of high school, it seemed as though that my life got darker than at any other time of my life. I was in the pit. And God came to me in my darkness. He came to me at the time when I was making the money and doing the things that the world esteems to be successful. But inside I was empty and I was lonely and I was dark. And all of these things were stacking up around me that condemned me. Because the Bible says that if you break one of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of them all. And I was so guilty. And I didn't know what to do. But this darkness of the night of the soul, maybe you're there this morning and you've told nobody about it. You're not about to do that. It's a private thing. And besides all that, you might be a little embarrassed. Jesus has been meeting people for nearly 2,000 years in the dark. And he met us this morning as you drove in here and as you got ready and as you came and as you sat, Jesus was meeting us in the dark. But for some of us this morning, Jesus met us where none of you perhaps would meet us. Jesus perhaps met us in that bar or in that place where none of us would go. Christ came. And he says, you need me and I want to give you life. And in this darkness, when all hope seems to be abandoned and the end is near, Jesus comes. Jesus is risen. And when the pain is the greatest, Jesus comes. And when everyone else and when all else fails you, Jesus comes. In the 11th hour, I can rejoice this morning in saying that Jesus Christ comes. And I'm so grateful. And I'm so glad. And you know, the Bible tells us in other places of the gospel that when that morning came upon, there was a great earthquake. Jim and I had been praying a couple weeks ago, "Oh Lord, on Easter morning, send an earthquake." Remember that, Jim? We prayed that prayer. I got it this morning. "Lord, send an earthquake. Put a little oomph into the message, you know?" But there's an earthquake. And the Bible says that the angel rolled the stone away. Now, why do you think that happened? To let Jesus out? No way. I don't think Jesus was inside going, "Let me out of here." No, the angel rolled the stone away to let the disciples in. To let them see. And John tells us in his gospel that Peter took off running towards the tomb when he heard about the words that the women had said. Here's big fisherman Peter just run into the tomb. And the Bible says that John took off and outran him and arrived to the door of the tomb first. And stooping in, he looked in. But here comes Peter, thump, 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 down the path and right into the tomb, running in. Maybe you're sitting on the outside and you're looking in, but we need to be like Peter. We need to run in this morning. And we need to pray for the sound system. But we need to run in. We need to run into Christ. We need to come to Him because He's made Himself available to us. Can you hear me? It worked in Russia. It'll work here. And so we need to come to Him. Get the message? Praise the Lord. We're almost done. But I want you to focus on this fact this morning. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible tells us there that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. To give His life a ransom for many. He gave His life for you this morning. You might be sitting here with your arms folded saying, "I don't need God." But you do need God. "I don't want to be religious." I'm not asking you to be religious. I'm asking you to have a relationship with Him, to know Him. I can't explain it to you, and I don't know quite how it works, but I know that when you bow your heart and say, "Jesus, come into my life," He comes in and He sets you free, and the guilt and the shame and the pain, He removes away. And He does it. I would be very mean and cruel to have you come out this time of the morning to tell you a story. It's a fact. Receive Christ this morning. Some of you have been held captive by these things that we've been talking about this morning. You don't need to do that anymore. We need to rejoice this morning with grateful hearts that Jesus has set us free. And we do rejoice. And in the book of Revelation, if you have any doubt about who Jesus Christ is, if you wonder maybe He was a good man, no. Jesus is a good God. Because the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, "Fear not, I am the first and I am the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys to hell and to death." And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "These things says He who is the first and the last, which was dead and is alive forevermore." People, this morning, the fact is Jesus Christ rose from the dead because the Bible said He would, and because the Holy Spirit propelled Him from the tomb, because He was sinless God who died on the cross for your sin and for mine, and He has set us free. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask all of us to pray, and we'll give you an opportunity to accept Christ. But I want you to think about these things. And to understand that this is not some kind of a religious lecture this morning. This is not some kind of a homily. This is a plea. I beg of you this morning, open your heart and let Christ in. You'll never regret that. You may not understand everything about Him. That's okay. But He'll receive you. He'll accept you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning. And Lord, our hearts rejoice, dear God, as the darkness is fleeting from this place. And Lord, as the sun comes upon us, Lord, this morning you have promised that the Son of righteousness himself would shine in the hearts of men. And so, Lord, this morning we pray that if there be any here this morning that would say yes to Jesus Christ, that they would open up their heart now and receive you. That they would not wait any longer, that they would not procrastinate any further, but they would say yes. While everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and Christian, if you're praying, pray now, pray more. But if you want to accept Jesus Christ this morning, why don't you slip your hand up? We won't make a spectacle out of you. We'll just acknowledge you and we'll pray with you. And we'll give you some information. Anyone, lift your hand up and say, yes, Jesus, you're real and I want you in my life. You want to have your sins forgiven. You want to understand what this morning is all about. You want to say yes to Christ. Father, we would pray this morning, Lord, that those who would want to receive you and to accept you as their King and as their Savior and as their Lord would trust in you completely. And if you'd like to do that, pray with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. I know that I've sinned. And I know, Lord, that you have died on the cross for my sin. And Lord, I put faith in you this morning. I don't understand it all, but I say yes to you. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would show me yourself. And Lord, that you would save me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may or may not have prayed that prayer this morning, but there are many of you, and you know who you are, that need to say yes to Christ. Don't leave earth without him. There's no second chance. Trust in him, for he alone is Lord, and he is God. Why don't you stand right now? We're going to close with a song. And we would encourage you this morning also to get a bite to eat or to have fellowship, and then to meet us back over at the chapel at 8:30 or 10:30 this morning for our regular services. But God bless you for coming. And as we sing this song, listen to the words again and say yes to Christ. God bless you.